I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
Good. Awesome. Good. So this is Dr. Laverne and I'm Sasha. We haven't actually seen each other.
Yeah. Hi.
Yeah, it's only Instagram messages, but that's us. So if we can just start, introduce yourself and maybe where we can find you on social media and YouTube, because I know you cover a few accounts over on Instagram, and you've got the YouTube channel as well. So I'll put the links up during the video, but if you can just let us know where we can find you to begin with.
So I'm Danielle. My personal pet account is Alpha Del, and it's the same on YouTube. I've made a couple of YouTube videos before. That's where to find me. I'm 22 and I've always had an interest with animals. I've actually studied biological sciences because I've always wanted to do a career with animals as well. So my life is very animal focused. I'm also you mentioned I am on multiple social media accounts and stuff. So I am also behind the Cheeky Beaks social media account, Cheeky Beaks Parrot Rescue, of which I am a director as well.
Awesome. So you say you pretty much your life is about animals. Do you have any pets of your own?
A lot. It's kind of a zoo here at home. There's a lot of animals, but the ones that you can say are really mine, I've got three birds, a Senegal parrot, a cockatiel, and a pet dove. And I've also got two chinchillas of my own.
Awesome.
Ooh,
wow.
Yeah. Everyone mixture at home.
My cockatiel was a stray that just no one has ever claimed. No one even messaged to say, could it possibly be theirs? So she's been with me for about a year. Even my one chinchilla was a rescue from the Animal Anti-Cruelty League. She was being kept at some very dodgy touch farm, and she was very sick when she came to me. She actually came with another chinchilla, and they were both pregnant, and unfortunately both the babies and the other mother passed away. They were just very sick when they came to me.
So you mentioned Cheeky Beaks, so I do follow them on social media. So if you can just tell us a little bit about them in particular. So they're a rescue organisation for abandoned birds, is that right?
Yes. So we started in 2019 as we realised the need for rescue parrots, because worldwide parrots are third most commonly kept pet. But they tend to be one of the most rehomed, or one individual can go through multiple homes in their lifetime. So we realized, surely this is also a case in South Africa. And it's definitely been that way. You know, in the first, we started at the end of 2019 and we helped over 30 birds in the last third of the year. And then 2020, it was 300 birds that we helped in the year. And then last year, it was 500 birds that we helped. So it's just, It keeps going. And there really is a need. And a lot of the times, it's a lot of reasons why birds get rehomed. Sometimes it's just financial difficulties. The people, you know, everyone struggled now with the pandemic. It could be just that people are moving to a place that can no longer accommodate an animal. Obviously I don't think people tell us the bad reasons, or no one might admit to that, but there is probably a lot of cases where people just they lose interest as well, or once they realize a bird doesn't suit their lifestyle. So there's a lot of birds coming through our doors, and we've grown from just the three people in the beginning to now a team of over 30 people across the country.
Wow.
That's incredible. In such a short space of time.
Yes.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's grown. Yeah. It's really grown.
So you've got a good network of foster carers, I'm assuming, which is fantastic.
Yes. Since we operate nationwide and we don't have a central facility, we do operate via foster homes, and we're always looking for fosters. Because they're so crucial to what we do. And the fosters are also so important in rehabilitating a lot of the animals, or even if an animal comes and they're pretty much perfect, the very least that they will need is probably a diet conversion. So the fosters do that for us, make sure that the bird is healthy, take the bird to the vet for us. And then people can also visit them to meet the birds before any adoption is finalized. The fosters are just super important. And yeah, that we decided, or the need for this rescue was also to work alongside sanctuaries, because I think before us, people, if they needed to rehome, it would have to be to a family member or friend, or if that wasn't an option, it would be to a sanctuary. But not all birds thrive in that kind of environment. So yeah, I think we do pretty well.
Yes, it sounds like it.
Yeah.
Really well, well done. So we can definitely put the links up so we can support you there.
Thank you.
Financially or with foster, people that are interested in fostering, definitely to contact you. That'd be great.
So yeah, also.
When trying to rehome, you know, some of the birds that you've taken in, what are some of the attributes that you would look for in a new bird family or new bird parents?
I think the main thing that we look for and that makes any of the team members happy is finding someone who's keen to learn, finding someone that's open to advice and stuff. And no one is perfect. We don't think we're perfect either. It's about working together to make the best for the bird. And if people come to us and they show us their care and we make a couple suggestions and they just take it and go with it, it just makes us so happy. Because we, as we do this, we realize the standard of care in South Africa isn't too great, and we are hoping that we can build a better welfare for the parrots. So we do a lot of education, and if people can take that and run with it and continue researching and do their own research further than what we tell them, that's truly the best thing, because then we know they will continue to look for the, what's the best for their bird, what's the next best thing that they can do. That's honestly the best.
Okay, great. So with foster families, is there, so normally, typically with dog and cat fosterers, we would say we don't want the bird to, the cat, dog or cat to go into a foster home, and then we want that animal to stay in that home for as long as possible until they find their permanent home. So is it maybe with a foster parent, do you kind of set their expectations that you could have maybe have this bird for quite a while? Do you find that some are quite long term because it's difficult to find homes? Or could maybe, if a foster parent is interested in starting, could you say, oh, well, maybe we'll put you as like a stopgap to one of our healthy ones that we think would be rehomed quite quickly?
It's difficult to say. I think whenever we do have a new foster, we do kind of prepare them and say it could be quite a long while. Even if the bird is healthy, it just could take some time to find that perfect family for them, because we are very strict in our process to really make sure that we find very good homes. And so it can take some time. And even if the bird is fine and there's a lot of interest in it, it could take a very long time for a diet conversion. So that's just how it is. That's unfortunately how the process goes. And we've had some people inquire and say, is it not maybe stressful for the bird to move from one home into another and then months later move again? And we say, yes, we can understand that. But ultimately, it's for the bird's best interest. And we've also found that it's kind of a desensitization process for the birds, and they're experiencing new things and meeting new people. And in the end, it actually works out best for them, and they become stronger and just more well-rounded, I suppose. And so it works out well in the end, but it can be a pretty long process generally.
Okay. Imagine, yeah. Are you currently looking for any new foster families?
Definitely, definitely, yeah. Especially in Cape Town and Joburg, Pretoria areas. Those are our busiest areas, so for sure. But in basically any part of the country, we're mostly in like 7 of the 9 provinces at this point or something. So yes, just about anywhere. We really appreciate it, because we also don't want to overload fosters. you obviously want to have someone who can spend quality time with the bird and really sit with them, and they can notice then if something changes, if the bird is sick, and maybe pick up if the bird likes certain things and doesn't like other things, so that we can take that knowledge and use it to find the perfect match for them, you know. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to overload fosters. So it helps if there's more to spread the load around.
Yeah, definitely. So if I was thinking about having a bird, because to me that's very, I haven't had much experience with birds. So for me, I'd find it like where to start. So what would me as a person thinking, oh, I like the look of a parrot, or, you know, I've seen someone have a cockatoo in their home, and I'm like, oh, that's interesting, that'd be a nice pet. What should I consider, kind of the noise levels, the nest they make, but also obviously they're the pros to being a pet parent as well. They're amazing animals, very interesting, I'm sure. But what are the things that I should really kind of be on board with if I'm going to take on a bird?
So yeah, the main things I would say to consider is time, money, your lifestyle, and what your expectations are. Time, you have to spend a lot of time with them. You can't, they're very intelligent, and you really have to put the effort in, especially if you want to have a strong bond with them and a good relationship. Money, they are exotic pets. They are expensive. You have to get a very large cage. You have to be constantly buying them toys, buying them good quality food. And of course, specialized vet visits are not cheap. So you have to be sure you can commit to that. Your lifestyle, if you're the kind of person who is away from home a lot, or you travel a lot, perhaps it's not something that might fit into your lifestyle. And again, just what your expectations are. If you immediately out of the bat think you're going to get something that's going to cuddle with you, that's going to chat away, and that's never going to bite, I am sorry to say, that's not a bird. They, even if you have a very good relationship, they also have their bad days when they're moody. They are going to bite. And they're also, not many birds talk. Many prefer to mimic sounds, that maybe mimic your microwave sound or your phone notification. Not many actually speak. And I think that's a big expectation we get a lot. People say, I want a bird and it must talk. And I say, well, there's not much I can help in that department. If they do, then that's fantastic. Yeah. But it's kind of an unrealistic expectation to have off the bat.
Yeah. Diet, I would imagine that's quite a big component of sort of raising and keeping a healthy bird. Can you talk us through some of the do's and the don'ts, you know, sort of diet? What is an appropriate diet? And I know there's a whole range of bird species, but just some of the basics there. What is a good diet for a bird?
Yeah, so diet is one of the main things that we have to educate people on, like I mentioned about diet conversions of the fosters. So when you go to the pet store, that's where you typically buy the food, you'll see shelves and shelves of seeds, and everyone's raised to know, okay, parrots, they look like this, they have a beak like this because they eat seeds. And that's kind of true, but not really the case. So in captivity, for most parrot species, generally, a good diet is like 50% pellets, like a pellet that doesn't have colorants and preferably doesn't have sugars or a lot of additives. A large portion of their diet must also be a variety of fruits and vegetables, especially veggies. And then also more variety as well. They can have seeds as well. They can have nuts, but strive to go for human grade seeds and nuts, and use them more as training treats or just as treats to build a relationship with them, or foraging treats. They're parrots have a very diverse diet, and people really need to have diversity just at the top of their mind the whole time. Every time you make a meal of veggies for your parrot, try and add different ingredients and mix things up. But yes, parrots, they cannot just live on like a sunflower seed only diet. It is very detrimental to their health. And that is something we have to continue to educate the public about for the sake of the birds. There are a lot of people who say, but my bird is fine. They've been eating this for years. And we say, even if your bird is fine now at the very least, the sunflower seed diet is going to drastically decrease your bird's lifespan. So, yeah, that's at the least that it can do.
Do you find, so the ones that come into your care via the rescue, do you find, because as with us, when we see rabbits, reptiles, quite often most of the health issues come from husbandry or diet problems. So you do find a lot of the ones that end up maybe a bit poorly with you, it's more a case of changing their environment and their diet, and you find a lot of those problems are fixed.
100%. I recently have fostered two cockatiels with severe dietary or severe health issues because of their diet. And it's the one had a massive eye abscess, and the abscess was caused by a vitamin A deficiency, which is caused by an incorrect diet. So that's how these things go. The other parrot, the other cockatiel, looked fine, but was actually missing all of its down feathers. And that feather loss was, again, due to like liver issues and internal issues because of malnutrition by also just being fed sunflower seeds. So that's how things go. It all comes down to the root of things, which is a diet of like one thing, which is in most cases sunflower seeds, instead of having a high diverse diet.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I would imagine just some, you know, enrichment and, you know, engagement with these very intelligent birds is probably quite important for their welfare and, you know, just stimulation. Can you talk us through some of those things and what we can do at home to help with enrichment and stimulation of our very clever parrots?
Yes, enrichment is very important. That's usually where behavioral issues come from, where people perhaps don't understand enrichment fully. Parrots that have screaming issues, it's sort of comes back to enrichment, and perhaps they didn't have other things to do, so they let out their frustration via screaming. So we also have to do this in foster care. Some of the times we actually have to teach birds how to play and how to keep themselves busy so that they don't constantly need to have someone around them and depend on us so much. They need to be able to have fun on their own. So toys are very important. We have a blog and a YouTube video on the different types of toys, because not every bird likes the same kind of thing. And maybe we've had people, when they apply to adopt from us and we teach them about toys, they say, but my bird doesn't like toys. And we say, perhaps you haven't found something that they like. Mm-hmm. So it's about trying different things. There are some birds that love cardboard and love shredding things quickly, and there's others who are just wood chippers and they love wooden things. So you've got to find what your bird likes. And if you don't particularly like having sort of manufactured toys in that sense, you can also do just branches from outside, from a safe plant that hasn't been used pesticides and things. Right. It must be safe for parrots. But branches of like bottle brush tree or eucalyptus, they can shred that through, and that's more of a natural thing. If your bird is scared of other toys, you can do that. There's always something that you can do to keep them busy and keep them mentally stimulated. You know, in the wild, a lot of animals spend a ton of their time foraging and looking for food. So we can also replicate that in our care as well, just by keeping them busy and keeping them enriched.
Yes, definitely. So I noticed on your Instagram you have a pet turtle dove.
Yeah, it's a little laughing dove.
Yeah. So just for general advice on wild birds, because, you know, sometimes being in South Africa, we have lots of birds in our gardens. And what do you recommend is the best thing to do if we do see an injured bird in our garden?
Yes. If it's an injured bird, that's definitely a case of going to the vet straight away. Definitely don't try to do anything unless you've been trained by a rehabber or by a vet. Rather, I would tell the public, don't do anything, because there is the possibility of making things worse, and to go straight to a vet. Also, don't try to feed the animal, because I actually saw a post about this recently. It's like, if you're in an emergency and you go to the doctors, they don't first say, okay, get this person a steak, you know, first treat all the medical issues, then we can get to feeding it and stuff. So yes, injured bird, please wrap it up and take it to a vet for sure.
Okay.
It does end very badly, unfortunately, in most cases, if people want to quickly do some patch jobs. And also they might think, or they might not know, that some things are also toxic to animals, like Dettol is very toxic for birds. Don't use Dettol on birds. So that's something as well that people might not know.
Right. What about little fledglings, you know, that can maybe get lost or fall out of the nest? What should one do around fledglings?
So fledglings is an interesting topic, because with rehabbers, a lot of what they get in are healthy fledglings, and it's people don't know. And obviously people are concerned, and that's great. But firstly, if it's a baby bird, you want to assess it and see, is it very young or is it at that fledgling stage? Because fledglings, they're learning to fly. Flying takes up a lot of energy, and it's kind of like if you had to run a marathon but you hadn't done any training. So they do lay on the ground a lot, but the parents are usually nearby. And people, what they can do is firstly check if the stomach is full. Their crop is sort of on their chest area. You can feel if that's like very flat against them, if it's empty, or if there's like a bulge there, if it's full. If it is full, the parents are probably around. It's fine. If you don't have any cats and dogs that pose an immediate threat, you can leave the bird where it is. But if the bird is injured, and if it has been sitting outside and its stomach is empty after a couple hours and you haven't seen the parents, then you can bring it in and keep it in a box. Preferably that's dark and away from noise and any stresses. And what you can do is you can put it outside the next day if there's no dangers and you can see if the parents come back. But if not, then it's a case of if you don't have any wildlife training, to take it to a rehabber or to a vet. Or, you know, if you do have training, then raising it on its own if it was abandoned. But yes, it is. That is, fledglings are picked up a lot by the public who just doesn't know better and wants to help animals. But yes, it's about learning what's a fledgling and what is in need of help and what isn't. And again, we just want to say, if you have not had training, please don't try and do anything, because it can cause a lot of harm. I was recently working at a sanctuary, and there was a crow that came in with very badly formed feet. And the rehabber there said that she believes there's probably someone who, with the best of intentions, is raising these crows who probably fall out of a nest each year or something, but is probably feeding them the wrong thing that is leading to these deformations. So again, if you don't know, you could be doing more harm. So there are actually courses where you can learn to do rehab, and that's amazing. But if you aren't prepared to do that or do the research, please just give it to someone who knows.
Cool. Okay. So I'll message you for some links to some courses if you can, and I'll put those on the website so people can find out what to do properly.
Mm. Yeah.
Dr. Loanne, yesterday you were at the Johannesburg Wildlife Hospital, weren't you?
Hospital, yes.
And they had an influx of,
yes, little fledglings and, sort of injured fledglings also. But yes, it's quite important to know, when to leave them and when to get them to some help and some attention. So, yeah, thank you for those pointers. Yeah.
No, it's a pleasure. And I do really like the public is engaged and wants to help, but sometimes it is difficult to know when to help and when to leave nature to take its course, where the parents may actually be around and you just don't see it and such. So it's always best, if the parents can raise them, to let the parents do their job.
Yes, they know best.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. Loads of information. Hey,
yeah.
Lots of you learn.
Yeah, so there's a bit of information overload.
No, it's great. Perfect. What we want to do is that education is key. Yeah. We just, so many things that we see, it's like, oh, if only you knew what to do properly, that, you know, the animal wouldn't be this way. So if we can get the word out there of how best to do it, then yeah, it's definitely the right thing to do. So thank you for all the information you provide online, and we'll definitely hopefully get more people to follow and spread the word.
No, that's awesome. Thank you so much for inviting